This is Doug Miller. When you serve the Lord and when you run into opposition, what should your next move be? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand. Delighted to be with you. Delighted to have this opportunity. It's one that I could never have imagined myself being able to do at a different time. But nevertheless, the Lord has opened some doors, and it's wonderful to be able to go out over the airways with this Word and to know indeed that God will always honor his word. He will always perform that which he has said he would perform. Now, we are in the 18th chapter of Acts. We are looking at the Apostle Paul. And if there's any guy who understood what it was to follow the truth, to speak and teach the truth, and to be thanked for his efforts by being hated and maligned and persecuted and physically attacked, it's this guy, Paul. We can learn a lot from him. So bring your Bibles, open up to chapter 18 of Acts, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there. And as you've heard me say many times, if you listen to Dialogue, we are utterly dependent on our listeners for support, for prayers, for word-of-mouth advertising. For those of you who think, well, I mean, you get up there and talk and that's all there is to it. No, no, no. No, we need your prayers, because we do have opposition, and the enemy is opposing us. And without the prayers of the Lord's people, we cannot function. It's just that simple. So I beg you, write Dialogue down on your prayer list. Pray for us. Take us before the throne of grace. Take us before our Father. The more people praying, the better off. And we would, of course, always like to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. So keep your writing materials handy. If you wish to email us, it is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. And if you wish to pull up our webpage, it's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, dialogueministries.org. All right. And finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, I'd be delighted to talk to you. Our telephone number is area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. Now, if you call, you'll get a recording, and I'll get back with you, but I won't be in any particular hurry to do it. That's just the way it is. But I will call you back, and you can talk to your heart's content. Okay, Acts 18. When we left Paul, he had come to Corinth. He had stayed with Priscilla and Aquila. And every Sabbath day, we saw last time, he was reasoning in the synagogue and persuading the Jews and the Greeks. But now we get to verse 5. Silas and Timothy come from Macedonia, and Paul was pressed in the spirit. Now, I don't know if you've ever been pressed in the spirit. Let me tell you something. Paul, the pressing in the spirit here was the Holy Spirit. And, you know, oh, love that will not let me go. Well, there is such a thing as being urged on by the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit says go and do so and so, you go and do it. Or you're going to wind up in a very miserable situation. Obedience is the thing. And here was a man whose very spirit was pressed. He was pressed in the spirit. And you say, well, this may not be his, the Holy Spirit. This may be his spirit. Okay, maybe. But one way or the other, he could not rest. He could not sit still. I don't know how many of you out there are aware of the particular gift that you possess. I hope that all of you believers are. And I hope that you're exercising that gift. But I tell you what, if you are not, if you have a gift and you are letting that lay fallow and you are doing nothing with it, there will come times, and there will be times when you are really pressed and urged. And the urging that Paul here had was to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the Christ. And he really had this, he was particularly urged in his own spirit and by the Holy Spirit to testify to the Jews about this. And down he went to the synagogue. And what does he get? They oppose themselves in verse 6 and blaspheme. And he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Now this has got to be a major and an important decision. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. That's what Paul called himself. This was his office, and this was his real calling. And he felt very strongly about this. He, go back and read the letter to the Galatians, he understood that Peter and James and John had a ministry in Jerusalem to the Jews, but he understood that his particular calling was to the Gentiles. Now, he had known this from the very first. We get this, and we'll see this again as he talks about it in the 20th chapter of Acts, how the Lord said to him at the very first, I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. So he knew what his calling was, and yet he also knew that the gospel first had to go to the Jews. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And it's very interesting to see how Paul has been led and how he has operated. This is not the first time that he turned to the Gentiles and away from the Jews. We read it back in the 13th chapter of Acts, don't we? How he and Barnabas did exactly what we see here. There they ran into opposition and blasphemy and hatred and violence, and they said, okay, we will talk to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles rejoiced. And here we have it again. And bit by bit and more, we are going to see Paul dealing with Gentiles. Now, all of you Gentiles out there, I hope you understand how important this is. I trust that you are thankful to the Lord every day. If you are saved, that, you know, that there was ever a time when this man, Paul, said, I'm going to the Gentiles. Because more and more, from this point on, more and more we see the Gentiles being saved and the Gentiles coming in. But I also want you to notice that Paul didn't actually and totally wash his hands of his own people, the Jews. Now, you can, this is easily determined. Go back and read Romans 9, 10, and 11 if you wish to. Look at how Romans 10, 1 opens up. What he says is that he is praying constantly for the Jews that they will be saved. This was a matter that concerned Paul. It weighed on him. And my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So he didn't just wash his hands of them, but he knew, particularly here in Corinth and in other places, that the Gentiles were the ones who were going to listen. As for the Jews, well, look at verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So, you know, Paul is not totally through with the Jews. He's still making contact with them. He is still not hesitating to tell them and show them that Jesus is the Christ. But his ministry, nevertheless, takes a real hard turn toward the Gentiles here. Look at what we have next time, next verse here, rather. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now, these two verses are very important. Very important. I want you to notice, and all of you out there who are disposed to be a five-point Calvinist, all of you out there who believe that people have no choice in the matter, that God's going to save who he's going to save, and that it doesn't matter what you do, so you just lay around, and it's not up to you to save anyone, and you don't have to be concerned. I want you to notice that's not how Paul was. And I want you to notice what the Lord told Paul here. He said in verse 11 that we just read, I have much people in this city. Now, I have them. Present tense. Why then? What is Paul to do about this? Since the Lord already has them, he might as well, you know, Paul might as well just go out and play a few rounds of golf, relax, have a little fun, go fishing, and just take it easy. But that's not what the Lord tells him. Speak up. Do not hold your peace. Get out there among them and speak to them. I've got them, but I want you to go and give them the gospel. Now, this is one of those passages that can be so confusing and can be so easily. I mean, you say, well, what sense does this make? If the Lord's got them, present tense, what difference does it make what Paul does? Let me tell you the difference that it makes. God, as you've heard me say on here many times, knows past, present, and future. You've heard me say this many times. He knows very well what's happening. He knows at this very moment and has known from before the foundation of the world exactly who was going to be saved. He knows. There is nothing hidden from God. Past, present, and future are all open before him with whom we have to do. His eyes see all, and there has never been a time when he didn't know the absolute truth of the future and what the future holds. And therefore, in saying, I have much people in this city, these people may have been saved. They may not have been saved. I tend to think that most of them weren't saved at the point Paul got this vision. Doesn't matter. God knows who they are. God knows who they are already. And they are his, and he knows them. Now, I'll tell you, that is a comforting thing. We read, you've heard me quote it on here many times, and many of you probably also have read this, Paul writing to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, God knows them. They are his, but they may not have been saved yet. How are they going to get saved? Paul's preaching, Paul's being pressed in the Spirit, Paul's being urged by the Holy Spirit and by the word of the Lord to get out there. Do not hold your peace. Stand on the street corners. Stand any place where you can find a piece of ground that will accommodate you. Stand in any building you can get into and shout it from the rooftops. Why? Because I have much people in this place. Now, here we see the sovereignty of God, and here we see the free will of man, and here we see how a man, in this case Paul, fits into God's plan. And if you think I can straighten it all out for you, no, I cannot. I can just read to you what the Word says. And those of you who are out there in the Lord's work, and every Christian is in the Lord's work, incidentally. I don't care if you're ordained or not. I never did put much stock in ordination. I don't care if you are the pastor of the church or not. I never put much stock in that either. If you are saved, you are working for the Lord. That's one of the things that happens to you. You gird yourself up in the armor of God, and you're out on the firing line, and get to work. Listen to what the Lord has to say here to you. I have people out there. Don't hold your peace. Stand up. Speak out. Get the word out there. It is by preaching the gospel that people are saved. And without that, how can they be saved? You are a part of God's plan. And the good news about it is that you don't have to worry about the results. You don't have to, I know it's discouraging. How many times have I spoken and seen no results at all? I've been at this for over 50 years. I am telling you, it can get discouraging. But there's no reason to be discouraged. The results are not up to me, and they are not up to you. But I'll tell you what is up to me and you. It is up to me and you to open our mouths and speak the truth and talk to people and get this word out there. And we will be judged at the bema of Christ by what we speak and preach and teach and whether we did anything or whether not. Now, how do we come out in this thing? Well, I think there will be great loss at that time for the times we didn't speak out. And look at this. Paul has a promise. No one's going to hurt you. No one will set on you to hurt you. I am with you. Now get out there among them. Wonderful thing. This is a great promise, and I think you can hold on to this one too. Nothing is going to happen to you that is not in God's will. And ultimately, nothing is going to happen to you to hurt you. If you're killed for the sake of the gospel, you're just going home to be with the Lord. And no one can do anything to you unless and until it is God's will. As long as you are doing the Lord's work, as long as He has a plan and a purpose for you here, you are invulnerable. Did you hear that? Nothing's going to happen. You can be threatened. People can make fun of you. They may slap you around a little bit. But nothing's going to happen. And you'll notice that Paul continued a year and 6 months in this place, teaching the word of God among them. Now that was, a year and a half here in Corinth. He later will write a couple of letters to the Corinthian church, won't he? We have them in our New Testament here. And what a wonderful thing that he was out here, but he was here a year and a half. I would love to think of what it would be like to have a man of his ability and his passion to come to my hometown and spend a year and a half there just speaking and preaching and teaching. Who was he speaking to and preaching to and teaching? Anyone he could get to listen. Anyone he could get to listen. In the synagogue, yeah. Out on the streets, yes. In the marketplace, yes. I think that many of you out there who are saved, who have been called by the Lord, who have been touched, who have had your eyes opened, many of you who have definite gift are being hamstrung by the fact that you will not, listen to me now, get outside the walls of your church and your denomination and get out there and talk to people. I don't care who they are or where they are. Now, some of you feel very strongly about your denomination. I would suggest that you stop that, because no one is going to be saved or lost because he or she is a member of your particular denomination. The Word of God is to all people. And so many of the people out there are not churched at all. They're not in any denomination. And there are people out there in all of the denominations who need help and sound and solid teaching. I was talking to a guy just the other day, he and his wife. They had been in a church on Sunday. I won't tell you the denomination, but they said the preacher got up there and he had absolutely nothing to say. The whole sermon was just pablum. He said not one word about the gospel, not one word about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we came out of that church just heartbroken. You know what they need there? They need some of you folks out there who know the gospel to get in there and stir them up. I don't know how you're going to get in there, but you need to know that if you have legitimate spiritual gift, your gift is to the body of Christ and not to your denomination. Did you hear that? Let me give it to you again. Your gift is to the body of Christ and not to your denomination. The Lord Jesus has his people in every church out there, people who are saved, people who need to be helped, people who need to be encouraged. And in any group out there, there are unsaved people, and they need to hear the truth. And if you are sitting there saying, well, I don't, how do I reach out there? Well, you know, that's kind of what I've often wondered. You know, how do we get out there with this? Well, one way, of course, is through a program like Dialogue. And there are others, you know, who are on the radio who are out here preaching and teaching. There are written ministries that go on. There is praying ministry going on. There are things going on that you can do as a believer. And Paul was in Corinth, and he was willing to talk to any and all. And I am absolutely convinced, if Paul were here today in this city, do you know where I think we'd find him? Well, for those of you who are saying, well, we'd find him down in my denomination, of course. We're the ones that are right. Please, don't make me laugh. My lips are chapped. Your denomination, I'm going to tell you where I think we'd find him. I think we would be apt to find him in a lot of different places, in a lot of different buildings with a lot of different denominational names on them. I think we would find him more often than not right out on the streets, right out on the street corners, talking to people. Well, that's all we'll have time for today. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.